This week, another 25 schools reported COVID-19 outbreaks. As we're going to hear later in the show, the situation in Kent County looks especially troubling. And these updates bring the state's total to 445 cases in ongoing outbreaks at pre-K through 12 schools. Health officials are telling us that a lot of these transmissions are not actually happening in the schools themselves. It's more often from social gatherings, sports, stuff outside of class. Still, schools are having to figure out how to respond. And parents and teachers don't always feel confident that those decisions match the level of risk. Michigan Radio's Kate Wells has been reporting on this. Hey, Kate.
Hey, April.
So this started when you talked with an elementary school teacher who was feeling freaked out, right?
Yeah, this was last week. This is an elementary school teacher. She is in Swartz Creek, which is this town just outside of Flint. And she did not want to go on tape, and she's asking that we not use her name because she doesn't want to put her job at risk. But she was really concerned, and she's having this experience that I hear from other teachers right now who are doing face-to-face learning. You know, this teacher really loves teaching in person, like all teachers do. You know, her kids were so excited to be back. But she feels like it's been kind of unnerving because it just feels like one staff member after another around her is either getting sick or being quarantined, especially when, you know, you're in a small school like she is. They've only had three teachers actually get sick, but it can feel like a lot. You know, she told me about like week three of school is when the first teacher, this really young teacher, got sick. She shows up one day to pick her kids up from specials, and then that teacher is suddenly gone. And then it's her partner teacher calling to say, hey, I'm at urgent care. So then this original teacher has to quarantine. She says it just all feels really unpredictable and disruptive, that she's stressed, the kids and parents are stressed. And the way that she put it was, you know, she just feels like the wheels are coming off the bus.
Jeez. So that's in Swartz Creek. What is the district doing for a case like this?
You know, they say that they are doing everything they can. They closed that elementary school where this teacher is for a couple of days to do a really deep clean. They closed the entire high school last week to sort of take a time out. They're also now requiring K through 5 students to wear masks inside the classrooms. But they're also, like every district right now, you know, they are in an impossible position. You look at the number of actual confirmed cases that they have. They've got like 16 total cases so far this year. And while that is not obviously ideal, it is really relatively low when you compare that they've got, you know, less than 4,000 students in the district. I drove over there on Friday and I met with the superintendent, Ben Meinke. And Meinke says, you know, the evidence that they see points to very little of this transmission actually happening in schools as opposed to outside activities.
You know, they're at a bonfire or they're at a, you know, a fall party or they're at a, you know, a family gathering and they're contracting it from grandma or aunt and uncle or whatever. We have three or four of our cases that are students that are fully online. They've never been here at all.
Jeez, Kate, I mean, what he's saying, that transmission isn't coming from schools themselves. Do we know that for sure?
Well, it's hard, obviously, because it's not like, as everybody knows, we don't have comprehensive testing in our schools yet. It's not like every time a student or a teacher comes or goes from schools, they get tested. So especially for younger students who may be less likely to show symptoms, we could be missing cases there. But I will say that the officials that I talked to who are in public health, they are saying that the evidence points to really low levels of transmission within schools so far, often because these are places that, you know, are bending over backwards to keep people 6 feet apart and do lots of sanitizing and everybody wear masks. Of course, though, that doesn't mean that they don't get disrupted, because even if you have just a couple of cases, you still have to quarantine so many students and staff. You know, we're talking about Swartz Creek with what, like 16 total cases, but more than 400 people there have had to quarantine already just this year. One of the health officials I talked to is Marcus Cheatham. He's the Mid-Michigan health officer, and he says he has seen this in so many schools right now.
It's really the quarantines that kill the schools, not the cases, because you can have two people, one person infects another in school, but if they expose 100 people, you've got 100 people quarantined, and then you can't keep school open because of the quarantine, because it just might not have the bodies.
So schools end up almost bearing the brunt of this in terms of having to close temporarily. And then I see how this works. The parents have to change their schedules, and kids are dealing with the unpredictability, even if within the schools everybody's doing the right thing.
Yeah, and you know, we're just seeing this get worse. You know, we just heard from Cheatham, that the health officer, and he says, on the one hand, he deeply wishes that schools were not doing athletics and football, that he's seen cases come from that part of school. But for the most part, he says he was not worried about the behavior that he was seeing in schools themselves. Of course, now, as we are seeing cases rise in so many parts of the state, it may almost be a moot point, he says.
So now I'm worried about every school, every business, because we're getting into higher and higher risk categories. And so, you know, we could be looking at a really bad situation here if the current trends continue. It would have, you know, it would raise the question of whether schools should be open at all. I kind of don't want you to say that, because when I say that, teachers unions in my district call their superintendents and say, we want you to shut the school down. The superintendent calls me and says, thanks.
This is the reality right now, you know, that we've got these cases rising. You're seeing this kind of increasing pressure, increasing fear. It often gets really focused on schools, even before, you know, the same focus is not necessarily put on, you know, churches or restaurants, or even just saying what, you know, he wishes is happening, which is that we weren't doing sports.
Well, we saw this in Kent County this week, right? The county issues a warning about rising cases in the community. And even though they said, hey, we're not seeing a lot of transmission within the schools so far, Grand Rapids Public Schools said, given this, we're going to stay fully virtual through the end of the year, in part because they thought the opening and closing and the back and forth would be too disruptive.
Yeah. And you know, you get into that really tough area of, you know, we know there are risks when kids are, in fact, in school. But how do you measure the risks of kids not being in school when those schools have to do what Grand Rapids is doing and what other schools have done and you know, shut down for longer? Ben Minka, he's that superintendent up in Swartz Creek. When he looks at this, he says, in a lot of ways, he feels like schools are the safest place for kids to be right now, both because there are so many preventative measures, you know, there's social distancing, mask wearing, but also because home may just not be a good place for every kid.
Some of our kids that come from poverty, they come from home environments that are not so good. And so everybody's concerned about COVID, right? So it's all about, well, it's just not safe. So how do we got to close school down. We got to keep people away. We can't have people come. That may be true for a lot of kids. But for some of our kids, it's significantly more dangerous and damaging for them to be at home. And this is the safest place they could be.
And I just want to add to that, April, you know, on what he's saying, that I hear this from parents too, you know, and not just parents where like a home is necessarily a dangerous place, but just places where they really see their kids suffering when they have to stay home. I talked with three different parents actually who saw this over the spring. You know, they saw how much their kids were struggling in online school, and they had the money to be able to put their kids in private in-person schools when their public school districts decided not to do any kind of face-to-face learning. And, you know, obviously private schools are not also, you know, they're not immune to risks either, but it does show you that for some people, this is an option more than others.
Kate, how are parents and teachers responding to all of this?
Well, you know, it goes without saying, this is obviously an incredibly stressful time. You know, the teachers, there's one I spoke with whose husband is immunocompromised, but she is still going back and teaching in person because she feels like that's where her kids need her to be. Others who are doing virtual teaching, you know, they're dropping off little gifts and notes to kids at home and waving from the end of the driveways just to sort of make them feel connected. They're doing virtual and in-person and 8 different types of modalities. And students have completely different days, day to day, as they, you know, do one day online and another day in school. And then their classes change overnight. And of course, parents are juggling all of this on top of work or being virtual teachers or having to put their kids in daycare or other less than ideal situations when they'd rather them be in school. And one thing that you do hear so often come up about this is that the political polarization that we see around this virus right now has really impacted these school debates on a very local level. every single school administrator I talked to brought it up, that it is especially loud, they say, among folks who want face-to-face school and see it as not just damaging to their kids that this isn't happening, but that school administrators are not doing their jobs. One administrator I talked to, RJ Weber, he's the assistant superintendent of Novi Public Schools, and he is seeing this in his community big time. He talked to some colleagues in another town where parents are really also putting enormous pressure on administrators and school board members.
Certain parents are actually showing up at school board members' houses when they're on a Zoom call for the meeting to show their displeasure. My concern is then, does that type of invective, does that contribute to decisions that may very well be harmful to children?
So schools just feel like they are in a no-win situation. You know, it's worth remembering that they did not create this pandemic. As one health official told me, you know, it's not the school's behavior that worries me. It's the pandemic that worries me.
Michigan Radio's Kate Wells. You can see her reporting at michiganradio.org. Kate, thanks.
April, thank you.